sitting at the big desk. Peace is live music in my kitchen. Peace is your grandma riding her bike to the bus to the farmer's market. Peace is a living wage for the Colombian peasant who grew my cup of coffee. Peace is the collective self-esteem of all the world's kids. And I've got to wondering, if you took all the 10-year-olds in China...
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The new Dean prognostication is in from the National Hurricane Center. No improvement in what's headed for the Yucatan. Forecaster Hugh Cobb.
It is intensifying this afternoon. We are forecasting Category 5 before landfall in the Yucatan.
The storm surge may be 18 feet, which could mean tremendous coastal flooding, but a direct hit by 150-plus mile-an-hour winds will do damage for sure. In Jamaica, which did not have to take the brunt of the storm, people quite literally dig out and count up the damage. The storm killed 12 people in the Caribbean before getting to Jamaica. Serious flooding in Texas, Oklahoma, Minnesota, and Wisconsin killed 8 people in Texas, 6 in Oklahoma, 6 more in Minnesota. There were rescues by boat and by helicopter.
We are going to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have damaged or destroyed homes, who don't have insurance, who are underinsured, or have some other issue about the need to rebuild.
Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty says the federal government needs to send help. Money mostly. Prosecutors are taking a bite out of Michael Vick, Atlanta Falcons quarterback, on dog-fighting charges.
Michael Vick's lawyer, Billy Martin, says the Falcons quarterback has cut a deal with federal prosecutors in Richmond. In a statement to reporters, Martin says Vick is pleading guilty to the charges already filed, but makes no mention of the grand jury meeting where Vick may have faced even more indictments.
Associated Press says prosecutors will recommend a year to 18 months in prison in that federal deal. The heat shields are okay. The wings and nose cone are in good shape. NASA has given the space shuttle astronauts the green light to come home. Shuttle program manager Wayne Hale.
We will primarily look at the Kennedy Space Center, and if weather conditions are not conducive to getting back to Florida with Endeavour, we'll most likely wave off and attempt Kennedy again on a subsequent day.
The shuttle's coming home a day early if possible because Hurricane Dean could complicate things for mission control in Houston. Reverend Billy Graham has had another bout of intestinal bleeding, but he was in the hospital and doctors went after it right away. He's doing well in Asheville, they tell us, in fair condition. The tighter money ripples in the mortgage market continue to reach the shores of Wall Street. CBS's Dan Revive.
You've heard of Greenpoint, a lender that works almost entirely through mortgage brokers. You won't be hearing much more about it. Greenpoint is owned by Capital One, which announces it's closing down that subsidiary, firing around 1,900 employees. The bank says the long-term profitability for the mortgage business has been reduced.
On Wall Street today, the Dow gained 42 points to close at 13,121. The Nasdaq also up, picked up about 3.5 points. And oil prices, $71.12 a barrel, down 86 cents. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here, so you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, the classy CRV, or an 8-passenger Pilot for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2007 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 3rd.
With Goodyear, the official tire of NASCAR, you'll feel like you're driving the official pace car of running errands. And now, visit a Goodyear retailer and get up to a $40 gift card by mail-in offer with a purchase of 4 select Goodyear tires, including race-inspired Response Edge. Or double your gift card up to $80 when purchased on your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear, get there. Offer valid 729 through 825.07. Visit GoodyearTires.com or a participating Goodyear retailer for mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval. All trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
A lawyer is suing Mattel, class action, over lead in recalled toys. Jeffrey Colino's his name.
It's wonderful that they're replacing the toys and taking them off the market, in a sense, but we need to have them set up a fund and get these children lead tested right away.
If there has been lead testing, thus far no cases are known, then he'd have something lucrative to work with.
Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
neighbors in Leeds, England, may even like country music, but Diane Duffin's habit of playing the songs over and over sent them to court. They said, even Tammy Wynette, 20 times in one day, is just a bit much. The good judge agreed, said, don't play that one, and also, don't play Dolly's 9 to 5 either, between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. anymore. They're played out. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I'm a jockey, and when I'm racing, I can't let my allergy medicine put me in a fog. So I only ride Claritin Clear. Claritin works hard to relieve my worst allergy symptoms. Sneezing, runny nose, for a full 24 hours. It works so well, only Claritin has proven to make me alert and focused. Not drowsy, like some other medicines can. When I get allergy relief and stay razor sharp, I'm ahead from start to finish. Stay alert, stay focused, live Claritin Clear.
Use it directed, only brand clinically tested.
You know, good things just make me happy. So when I can find those good things on sale, that makes me really happy. Like right now at my neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, I can save $8 a gallon on Duration Home Interior, the ultimate in beauty and washability. I love it. It's just the best paint I've ever used. I can also save $8 a gallon on Duration Exterior. It covers in one coat and is guaranteed for as long as I own my home. All this and amazing prices. Please, can you hear me smiling?
He's here. Watch out.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, let's get this party started. It's a Monday, 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up, so you better get this party started. And we got some fresh people here at the Peter B. Collins party. Coming up, so you better get this party. I want to give a big shout out to the listeners of Big Sky Radio, the 9490 in Laurel and Billings, Montana. This is our very first broadcast in Montana. And I'm delighted you can now hear the Peter B. Collins Show. We're a live interactive radio program originating from San Francisco, and we are live at this time, which means you can pick up the phone and give us a call, toll free. It's an easy number, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And if you are the very first caller who checks in from Montana today, I've got a nice little CD of some great satirical music for you, and we'll put in the mail to you. Again, my number's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In a moment, we'll get things started here with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. Every week, we check in to review the performance of the media and some of the failings that have occurred just in the recent past. Also this hour, David Enders, a freelance reporter just back from Iraq, will tell us about the meaning of the assassination of another provincial governor in Iraq. The news broke today. And also the remarks of General Odierno on Friday. And David Enders will give us his own impressions from his recent visit there in Iraq. An hour from now, Christina Larson will join us. She's an independent journalist who published a powerful, lengthy story in Washington Monthly about just how polluted China is. And we'll talk about that, among other issues. Jeff Cohen will join us. He, of course, is a media critic and watchdog, co-founder of the group FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And he's going to comment on the unholy alliance between CNN and the Pentagon as we were launching the war and occupation in Iraq. Jeff Cohen coming up in our second hour today. And our third and final hour, always a free speech zone. Room for your phone calls. And for you in Laurel, Montana, who don't get to hear the whole show, you can switch over when the program gets changed to peterbcollins.com and listen online. And you can always just take a shot in the dark and call us in the free speech zone during our third hour. We'd be delighted to hear from you on any subject. We accept calls on any topic from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Paul Waldman is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. Their powerful website is the antidote to media extremism in many forms. It's mediamatters.org. And Paul is also the author of Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. And it's more powerful than ever as we head into the 08 election cycle. Paul, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing fine. You were also featured on NPR's On the Media over the weekend, offering your thoughts about the narratives that presidential candidates use, particularly successful ones.
Yes, I was. I was talking about something that I wrote in the American Prospect Online about the three-part narrative that successful presidential candidates use, and I'll let people go and check that out themselves if they want to know what the three parts are and who's using them well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. And you sent a podcast. Can people find that at npr.org? Or?
Yeah, and they also have their own website, onthemedia.org.
Okay, great. Very interesting stuff, and I enjoyed listening to that. Now, also over the weekend, Karl Rove, who in a very carefully constructed photo op, hopped on helicopter 2, what is that, Marine 2, and flew to Andrews Air Force Base for a free ride back to Texas, and somehow he was back inside the Beltway just 6 days later.
Yeah, well, he's doing kind of a farewell tour, and he appeared on a few of the Sunday shows over the weekend on Sunday.
All of them, actually.
I guess this week was doing the Democratic debate, but he was on all the others.
Okay.
He did Meet the Press and Face the Nation and Fox News Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you might have expected, he was completely unapologetic about everything that's happened, not only his own misdeeds, but also the way that the he has, I think, to a great extent, really put the Republican Party in the worst position they've been in a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to the things that he's done wrong, if you listen to him, he's never done anything wrong.
Well, let's listen to a clip here. This is from Meet the Press, as actually they're talking about Karl Rove. I think he'd been on the program before this. And son of a gun, Matt Cooper, pops up to contradict Mr. Rove.
Okay, Cooper, let's pick up on an aspect of the interview with Karl Rove having to do with the leak case, the CIA leak case that you were part of as well. And something that's very interesting, he went out of his way to say, I would not have been a confirming source on this kind of information, and taking issue with Novak's testimony and his column that he knew who Valerie Plame was. He said he would have never confirmed that information. That's different from your experience with him.
Yeah, I think he was dissembling, to put it charitably. Look, Karl Rove told me about Valerie Plame's identity on July 11th, 2003. I called him because Ambassador Wilson was in the news that week. I didn't know Ambassador Wilson even had a wife until I talked to Karl Rove, and he said that she worked at the agency and she worked on WMD.
And Paul, Matt Cooper is being charitable, as he said so himself, because he used the term dissembling, and then he proceeds to directly contradict what Karl Rove said. That amounts to a lie in most people's vocabularies.
Yeah, and for some reason it's a word that journalists don't ever want to use, but according to Matt Cooper, Karl Rove was lying. And we know this because he lied to reporters. He was asked whether he was one of the leakers, and he lied and said no. He lied to Scott McClellan, the White House spokesperson at the time, telling him that he was not one of the leakers. And then after that, subsequently, President Bush said that anyone who was involved in a leak was going to be fired. And somehow Karl Rove was not fired.
And some of the sharpest questioning now, I have to confess that I have other things that I'm committed to on Sundays, and I don't watch the Sunday shows. I sometimes catch up with some of the clips. And so, based on news accounts, Chris Wallace of the Fox News Channel gave Rove some of the toughest questioning, and Rove responded by saying that he was an agent of the Congress. That was unusual.
Yeah, he basically said he wasn't going to answer Wallace's questions because Wallace was acting as an agent of the Congress.
And Wallace was asking him, for example, if he ever talked to the president about when he leaked Valerie Plame's identity. And apparently Rove didn't give anything on that.
No, essentially claimed executive privilege. Not too surprising.
And overall, Media Matters issued some studies last week about the media treatment of Karl Rove. And it's been softball 90% of the time, wouldn't you say?
I think so. For a long time, They have looked, the Washington Press Corps in particular, have looked on Karl Rove as this sort of extraordinary political genius whose every word has to be kind of held aloft and examined in detail for its wisdom and prescience and everything. And, you know, he really in many ways embodies all the values that they have respect for. He was someone who won elections. He was someone who had no compunction about resorting to underhanded tactics, and that's something that, shocking as it may seem, Washington reporters seem to respect. They don't have any kind of sort of ethical standards when it comes to campaigns that you can see in their reporting. It's about who wins and who loses. And so people like Karl Rove, who until fairly recently was very successful, they get the praise no matter what they do, no matter how underhanded their tactics are. Those are the political operatives who get praised. The ones who get criticized aren't those who are liars, who are cheaters. The ones who get derided are those who lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that kind of an ethical system, Karl Rove was something of a hero.
And the reporters do occasionally arch their backs, arch their brows, and ask tough questions, but from my point of view, they often fail to really follow up and nail the issues down. And so we heard David Gregory there asking tough questions, but the tough question was for Matt Cooper, not for Karl Rove himself. Now, again, I haven't seen the sequence where he interviewed Rove, but wouldn't it have been more powerful to bring Cooper on to confront Rove and challenge him on this? I'm sure Rove wouldn't have agreed to the ground rules to appear, and that's why it didn't happen.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think it would have been very powerful, but I doubt that Rove would have done that. And you know, I don't think Karl Rove has any kind of concerns about going on a show like that he's going to be put in an awkward position. You know, you don't have to be a genius to be able to wiggle out of the kinds of questions that you get asked on the Sunday shows. They're pretty predictable, and it's never too all that difficult to weasel your way out of them because the interviewer has 10 other things he wants to ask you about, and he's not going to spend too much time, you know, confronting you because you didn't answer the question that he asked. So it's not much of a risk to go on the Sunday shows if you know what you want to say.
Yeah. And Tim Russert, who had the week off, to his credit, he often asks tough questions, and then I think he watches somebody wriggle out of it and moves on to the next question on his list.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. And in a particular kind of question, too, Russert's modus operandi is to put something up on the screen that you said recently and then put something else up on the screen that contradicts what you said that you may have said 6 months or a year before and ask you to if you're not a hypocrite for saying two different things. But since everybody knows that's what he's going to do, it's not too difficult to prepare for that either.
Mm-hmm. Although there's a recent clip that surfaced that Chris Matthews has had in high rotation. And it's an interview with Dick Cheney, who was Secretary of Defense, this was in 1992, about why they didn't go to Baghdad. And it's very powerful. It outlines all the reasons why I said we shouldn't go to Baghdad this time.
Yeah, there are some things you can't wiggle out of, and that really is an extraordinary clip. I think it's from 1994, perhaps. He was being asked why they didn't do it in 1991,
mm-hmm.
and he laid all out about, you know, how are you going to deal with being an occupying force in Iraq and all these all the conflicts between the different ethnic groups. And he gave a very, very compelling argument that it wouldn't have been a good idea to go all the way to Baghdad. Of course, what's really shocking about that is not just that he reversed himself on the larger question of whether or not to go, but all of those things that he said would go wrong did in fact go wrong, and his comments in 1994 indicate that at least at some point he had some understanding that they would, and yet they didn't prepare for any of it.
We're going to take a break and return with Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12 Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, along with Ava, as we share tools for change that work. 12 Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105. Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 22 minutes after the hour. And coming up in about 10 minutes, David Enders will join us, a journalist fresh back from Iraq. Right now, we continue with Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org. If you've never been to their website, you got to log on next time you're at your computer. They do a great job of monitoring the media and pointing out where it fails us, and that's why their website is so robust. Paul, let's start off here with an item from ABC News on Barack Obama. The Democratic candidates are having a little trouble getting their messages through clearly and without distortion.
Yeah, some people may have heard about this. He was talking about Afghanistan and saying, making an argument that we don't have enough troops there. And as he was talking about this, he said that that's one of the problems is that we don't have enough troops, so we're just kind of conducting air raids and civilians get killed, and that's a real problem for us. Now, with utter predictability, the Republicans jumped on this, as they do, and said, aha, Barack Obama is attacking the troops, which, of course, is a ridiculous reading of that statement. But what we also find so often is that when they do that, the press picks up on it. And so we pointed out one example of this from ABC News, where they were talking about his statement, and they said he seemed to criticize the troops. Well, no, he didn't seem to criticize the troops. That was a complete distortion that Republicans made. But I think that they have grown confident that when they do that, at least some people in the media are going to pick up on it. And I think we're going to see that increasingly as we go forward in this campaign. Because particularly during campaigns, one of the Republicans' favorite tactics is to take something that a Democrat says, a statement, and see if they can attach a meaning to it that makes it as detrimental as possible to that Democrat. This is just one example of many, and we're going to see a lot more. The real question is, are the media going to continue to allow them to do that and to become a partner in that?
Let's listen to this clip
and
here.
And now we turn to the race for the White House. This weekend in Iowa, George Stephanopoulos and ABC News holding, sponsoring a Democratic presidential debate. And this time the spotlight is sure to be on Illinois Senator Barack Obama, who has spent the past few days...
And let me just point out that the screen message, the chyron reads, Obama's foot-in-mouth disease? That's what is underneath the... I guess this is Diane Sawyer.
Defending himself, but about his own words. Here's ABC's David Wright.
When Obama said he'd chase Osama bin Laden into Pakistan, with or without that country's approval, Pakistan protested, and his rivals questioned his experience. Would any of them actually wait to act on actionable intelligence? Probably not. They just might not say so out loud.
A lot of people would agree with a lot of what he's saying.
This is Cokie Roberts.
The way he's saying it comes across as someone who's not quite ready for prime time.
The Pakistan flap came on the heels of Obama's promise to sit down face to face with Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro.
I thought that was irresponsible and frankly naive.
They disagree.
That was Hillary Clinton.
Then this week at a New Hampshire forum, Obama seemed to criticize the performance of U.S. troops in Afghanistan.
Air raiding villages and killing civilians.
I think there are positions a presidential candidate can take, but they have to be taken with precision. It's not wise as a candidate to bring a sledgehammer.
Now that's David Gergen counseling precision. And Paul, that's exactly what the ABC report lacked.
Right, about taking things out of context. To just use that sentence fragment that he said, air raiding villages and killing civilians, without what came before it or what came after it, though, that context that he was talking about the fact that we don't have enough troops in Afghanistan and he wants to put more troops in there. And the fact of the matter is, of course, that, I mean, Karzai has complained about civilian deaths. Right now, we know that more civilians get killed by fire from American troops than by the insurgents that exist in Afghanistan. This is something that the American military is extremely concerned about. Everybody knows it's a problem. But so to just take that sort of a quarter of a sentence out of its context to try to say that he's criticizing the troops is absurd.
All right, and we can't let you get away without a quick swipe at Bill O'Reilly here. On the August 16th version of The Factor, they brought on Bernard Goldberg, who is a disaffected CBS News reporter who's turned into a right-wing critic of the liberal media, wherever you can find that.
I don't even know what to say anymore, you know.
Those are
three, and they all fell in our lap today, all of them. The NBC thing, Seattle Times, and San Francisco Ground. What say you?
Let me make sure I have this right, Bill. The San Francisco Chronicle.
Oh, the files.
Is a left-wing newspaper that bashes Christians and compares Americans to Muslim terrorists. At the Seattle Times, they openly cheer when they find out Karl Rove is out. And at MSNBC, which is a part of NBC News, they boo in the newsroom when George Bush delivers a State of the Union speech. I'm shocked. Liberal bias in the media? I mean, I can't believe it.
Oh, there's Bernie. He's shocked. And this, of course, is an attempt to tie those different media outlets together and say they're anti-Christian. Paul, is this the first salvo in the war on Christmas for 07?
Well, there will be a war on Christmas in 07, I have no doubt. Fox News wouldn't know what to do if it couldn't push the war on Christmas. And Goldberg went on to compare the liberal media to the Ku Klux Klan. And I think that conservatives, and this is something that Bill O'Reilly has said, too. He's been recently comparing the Daily Coast website to the Klan and the Nazis. I think what's happening is that since conservatism is increasingly on the run, they're getting more and more kind of desperate and beleaguered, and you see this sort of ratcheting up of the rhetoric that everyone who disagrees with you must be a Nazi or a Klan member.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Paul, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
We'll talk to you again soon. Visit MediaMatters.org. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three. Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who
never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time. It's time to go home, to take our boys away now.
34 minutes after the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. Greetings to our new listeners in the Big Sky land of Montana, listening to Big Sky Radio on 1490. You're invited to call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I've got a nice little gift for the first caller from Montana who checks in here at the Peter B. Collins Show today. David Enders joins me now. He is a freelance journalist who has been making many trips to Iraq. Returned just last week. Co-founder of the English language Baghdad Bulletin. And he spent more than 14 months in Iraq in total. He's written for Mother Jones, The Nation. And am I correct, David Enders, that you have a linkage to the Guerrilla News Network and Anthony LaPay?
I do.
Yeah?
Yep. Have worked with them off and on over the last few years. Generally host my blog there. And last year we did a really great site-funded trip to Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Give my regards to Anthony. He's a great guy, and I love what GNN does. It's on the web at gnn.tv. So tell us about your recent travels. Where were you? What did you see?
Well, I was in Iraq, Jordan, and Syria for about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and went to Baghdad, went to Basra, got around Iraq as much as I could. Whenever you're doing that at this point, you're either embedded with the U.S. military or you're paying lots of money for private security, or you're working with different Iraqi parties that can provide security.
You mean Kofor Black didn't offer you a free detail of Blackwater security guards?
Nah, it didn't happen.
Oh, you should call Mitt Romney and ask him.
am I entitled to that? Rat.
So what is it like to get around? Did you embed, or did you just rely on locals?
We did embed for a few days. We also worked with local parties who provided the Iraqi military or police or militiamen loyal to them to help us move. And you have to do that virtually. And I pass for Iraqi like at first glance, and I can drive through a checkpoint, and I speak enough Arabic that I can do that in certain neighborhoods without risking too much. But the cameraman I was working with cannot. So we were virtually anywhere we wanted to move, we had to have prearranged security.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting when people talk about embedded and unembedded journalists. Everyone is embedded at all times for all intents and purposes, whether or not they're varying degrees. You're inside or you're outside the green zone. I was staying in a hotel complex that is essentially the last year, in 2006, I did stay in an apartment that was across the street from the Communist Party, so I was largely unsecured, but they were kind of controlling the street, which mm-hmm. made it safe enough for me to risk doing that. But this time I was at the Hamra Hotel, which is NBC has the top three floors and pays for a huge Iraqi security detail around the perimeter of that hotel complex, which is basically the last complex that Western journalists stay in outside the green zone.
Mm-hmm.
So outside the presence of the American military. The New York Times is in a small compound outside the green zone, but they're moving into the green zone, as I understand it, in the next few months.
Mm. Now, David Enders, how do you assess your risk on a daily basis? I mean, it's very hard knowing where you are to figure out if, this is a Shiite neighborhood. Do I need to worry about a Sunni attack? Do I need to worry about a Shiite-on-Shiite attack? That's very hard to peg, isn't it?
You don't move without other people's protection. For instance, we wanted to film refugees, internal refugees. So we called up a representative of the Sadr movement that I knew, because I knew there were lots of internal refugees in a particular neighborhood that they controlled, and we went out with them. they came with us. They met us as we left our neighborhood, and they drove us across dangerous neighborhoods with two cars of security. We went to the office, we checked in, and then we left again with their security to go interview the refugees. While we were doing that, we were approached by other factions within the movement who were concerned and annoyed that there were Western journalists working in the area. And so assessing risk is that's how you do it. You don't do anything. You don't just go out and really take the risk. You know, there are a few roads where you can move in and out of different places, but basically if you want to get out of the car and talk to anyone, you need to have that prearranged with a militia. And so then when these other factions of the militia came up and expressed concern, these guys were vouching for us.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent which we were allowed to continue our work, but then we were also told by the head of the office, who is someone I've known for more than a year, and which is why I trusted him in the first place to help us with this, no other Western journalist would do this at this point, call up someone from the Sadr office and say, hey, I'm coming out, you know, help me out here.
But when you do that, I mean, are your communications secure, and do you have to worry that a call like that could tip off somebody and say, hey, we got an IED for David Enders?
Potentially, but I think if you do it, I knew this guy and I trusted him, and he doesn't want to. His interest was showing that there are these internal refugees who that they're to some extent taking care of, and I had spoken with him enough that I was convinced that you know, at any level you're taking a distinct chance. Yeah, this guy could totally have turned on me and decided that I was worth more to him as a $50,000 hostage than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I had spent enough time speaking with him that I trusted him to help me out with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I thought, trusted me enough. So that's just the chance you take. And we didn't go back a second day. He asked us not to return a second day because after the confrontation with the other faction, we had been spotted by too many people, and there was no guarantee that if we came back another day, they weren't going to come back with, you know, 60 guys to come kidnap us. So it's almost everything you do in any neighborhood where you're getting out is a one-off.
We're talking with David Enders, just back from Iraq. We're talking about the situation there for a reporter. If you have a question or a comment, lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, David, the breaking news today is that another governor of a province of Iraq has been brutally murdered. Muhammad Ali al-Hassani was the governor and a member of SCIRI, the Supreme Islamic Council in Iraq, and he was the governor of the state of, see, it's here in the article,
province of Muthana.
Muthana province, yes, thank you. So what is the significance of this? Because on August 11th, the governor of Qadisiya province was also killed.
Right. The Jaish al-Mehdi, which is the grassroots movement / militia loyal to Muqtada Sadr, is fighting SCIRI, which is the Iranian-backed Shiite political party that's most closely allied with the U.S. and doesn't have a lot of grassroots support, but did a good job taking over a lot of support in the elections. A lot of people think there was a lot of fraud in the elections, especially at the governorate levels, and in some cases the Sadrists, being anti-election and anti-government and anti-occupation, didn't run in the local elections. And so even though there was relative calm in the south for the first couple years after the occupation, the reconstruction money has been basically embezzled and misspent by most of the governorates in the south, which are the poorest governorates in the country. And at the grassroots level, they're very much loyal to Sadr, and were loyal to Sadr's father. And so this has set up a political confrontation, now a military confrontation, between SCIRI, which has this sort of elite political power, has done virtually nothing for the populace, which is... When people talk about people in Iraq starving, they're talking about Muthana, they're talking about Qadisiya, they're talking about Nasiriyah and Amara, the two poorest cities in Iraq. Those are the capitals of those respective provinces.
Mm-hmm.
And And those are you know, the most desperate areas of Iraq, and nothing is being done for them despite this relative security that there was. And so now people are coming out and demonstrating, people are coming out and fighting, and the demonstrations have been met very heavy-handed by the police force, which is generally loyal to Skiri. And now they're seeing an increased military resistance to this. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing intra-sectarian fighting based on political power and essentially a lack of improvement in the quality of life for these people.
Mm-hmm. And to what extent is Al-Qaeda and its affiliates part of the day-to-day violence in Iraq? And this leads to another set of questions I'll get to in a moment. Go ahead, David. I just wanted to ask, in general, how much is Al-Qaeda a factor in the daily violence in Iraq between Sunni, Shiites, and others?
It's not really. Like, you see these, it is, to the extent that which, quote-unquote, Al-Qaeda, and there's still a question about how much really operational linkage there is to Al-Qaeda in Pakistan or Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan to Al-Qaeda in Iraq, even though when it was nominally claimed by Zarqawi 2 years ago, who is the original self-proclaimed head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, it's always been unclear to what extent operational support and coordination really exists.
And the reason I raise that is that on Friday, the number two American commander in Iraq, Lieutenant General Ray Odierno, gave a series of interviews, and one of the things that he stated really strikes me as the kind of propaganda that comes out of the White House. He said the military estimates that in July, 52% of the violence across the country was caused by Al-Qaeda and Sunni insurgents. Now, by lumping Al-Qaeda with Sunni insurgents, I imagine you can get to 52%. But if I had to guess, wouldn't that be like 45% Sunni insurgents and the balance might be attributable to Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia?
Yeah, I think that's a good guess. One indicator that makes that statement really stupid, and Odierno has been no stranger to lies and falsifications as long as he's been, even before when he was an officer with 4th Infantry Division, and was their political affairs office. There were also some things that were going on then that he released statements about that were extremely questionable and I would say lies, and some of which I can essentially prove. And so when you say that, the Sunni guerrillas, who have recently turned on Al-Qaeda and are now working with the U.S., it's kind of baffling how easy it's been for them to root out Al-Qaeda. If Al-Qaeda is the presence that the U.S. contends it is, then it's shocking how quickly these different tribes and different former insurgent groups who have agreed to work with the U.S. against Al-Qaeda have been able to get Al-Qaeda out of there. That should be the greatest indicator that quote-unquote Al-Qaeda is not the major concern, that it's Sunnis, it's ex-Ba'athists, it is radical Sunnis along the lines of Al-Qaeda, whose worldview is not dissimilar to Al-Qaeda's, but who are fighting because of what's happening in Iraq and not because of some idea of an Islamic caliphate across the region. They're fighting because they were part of the Iraqi military before.
And they're trying to throw off the yoke of occupation, right? That's kind of a standard reaction to occupation.
Exactly.
We got to take a break. We'll return with David Enders. He's just back from Iraq. More in a moment. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is David Enders, journalist just back from Iraq. And David, where can people find your next dispatches?
They'll be posted on the Pulitzer.org website. The Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting provided some money for the trip. And we'll also be posting links to, I was working with a filmmaker on some TV pieces for Al Jazeera International, which will also be linked there.
Okay.
And you'll probably be able to find them on AJI's site.
All right.
In the coming months.
Now, just to recap briefly, it was a very bloody week in Iraq last week. As many as 500 people killed in these coordinated truck bombings in northern Iraq. The violence continues in Baghdad. And Odierno gave this news conference in anticipation, I think, trying to soften things up for the expected mid-September report from Ambassador Ryan Crocker and General Petraeus. And we learned last week that most likely those reports are going to be written at the White House and delivered by the two gentlemen I just named. So there's a lot of concern that there's this huge disconnect between what's really going on in Iraq and how out of control it is, and the rosy stories they're trying to tell us about how the surge is working, and they send these mixed messages that by next spring they're going to start drawing down American forces, and they want us to believe, or they want us to think, that they're responding to American public opinion, but they're actually simply acknowledging the limits of what our forces are capable of doing and the extended deployments that they've already run up. And finally, nobody talks anymore about how we're going to stand down when they stand up and training the Iraqi army and police force. And when I look at the whole picture, I believe the report that came out of Germany last week that Iraq is on the verge of a total collapse, and the U.S. is just kind of whistling about, you know, troop levels and domestic politics.
Yes, that's a more accurate picture than you'll get from the White House. The country is on the verge of total collapse. There's no reconciliation amongst the political factions, and the same issues that have remained unresolved since the invasion remain unresolved and are going to be fought over. For instance, Kurdish control of the oil in the north of Kirkuk, which is, I think, part of what you see happening with the bombings last week that killed more than 300. The Yazidis are ethnic Kurds, the Yazidis being the small religious minority that was attacked in those bombings, whose village was attacked in those bombings, but they were talking about joining the Kurdish autonomous region, and they've been attacked, I think, more as ethnic Kurds than anything else. And so also the attacks, despite the surge, attacks have increased slightly, and at the same time, and that's with an extra 30,000 American troops in the country. So if you think about it, in one sense, attacks have probably, you know, really gone way up in a sense, if they've managed to increase attacks slightly with more troops in the country. And then you have greater militia control of more parts of Baghdad than you did 6 months ago. Despite the surge, the Jaish al-Mehdi is still consolidating control of different areas in Baghdad that it didn't control before. Meanwhile, al-Qaeda, or the Sunni insurgents, or whatever you want to call them, are pounding Qurrada, which is considered the last safe neighborhood in Baghdad. It's directly across the river from the Green Zone, and it's home to many Iraqi parties, including Skieri, the most closely allied with the U.S., while I was there, was being hit by massive, massive car bombs. And the Iraqi government is underrepresenting the casualties. I was at the site of one car bomb that collapsed an entire apartment building at 6 o'clock in the evening, and they said it only killed 25 people, which is an impossibility.
Yeah.
There had to have been more people on the street at that time, and the fact that it collapsed an entire apartment building and people were still digging bodies out a week later. Mm-hmm. There's no way there were only 25 people killed in that bombing.
And David Enders, just about a minute and a half remaining. I wanted to turn to the refugee situation because you referenced that you also went to Jordan and Syria. And Dar Jamil has reported on this program. Upwards of 4 million Iraqis have been displaced, roughly half internally, the other half have left the country. Any moves being made to deal with this growing problem with refugees?
Not by the U.S. Syria is still letting in. I mean, Syria and Jordan have said they'll allow Iraqis to attend school. The school year starts next week, so we'll see if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the infrastructures of both those countries are being extremely taxed. Damascus is having rolling blackouts this summer, which it never had before. Most Iraqis are concerned about how long Syria, which is now the last, you can't get into Jordan anymore. And most Iraqis are concerned about how long Syria will keep its borders open. It's the last country that has its borders open to Iraqi refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Refugees are receiving very little assistance in country and virtually none outside the country. The UNHCR is providing a little bit of medical care, but it's not nearly adequate. And even UNHCR will admit this. So no, it's a massive problem that very little is being done for.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll talk to you again soon, and stay well, will you?
Thank you.
All right, David Enders, independent journalist just back from Iraq. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue live online at peterbcollins.com.
Tired of of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Quarterback Michael Vick ends his scrambling, makes a deal to plead guilty to dogfighting charges.
This is complete surrender by Vick and the others.
Deadly Hurricane Dean churning towards stranded tourists on the Yucatan.
We are forecasting Category 5 before landfall.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. Michael Vick has run out of room.
He has agreed to plead guilty to the charges as outlined, essentially a conspiracy charge related to his role in a dogfighting ring. He faces a maximum of 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. But what the exact nature of the plea is and how much time he can really expect, that is, what is the deal that has been struck and will the judge approve it, all of that will become clear until next Monday.
CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman says the Atlanta Falcons quarterback had little choice but to make the deal. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Obviously, he had to make this deal. He was not going to be acquitted at trial. All of the evidence, all of the witnesses were arrayed against him, and I'm sure his lawyers told him that, telling him that he's better off taking a deal, asking for some leniency from prosecutors and the judge, and getting this over sooner rather than later.
The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals weighing in on punishment for dog fighting.
Obviously, we'd like to see the harshest possible penalties. We realize that the nature of the criminal justice system is such that there are always pleas and compromises, but we hope that this will be taken as seriously as possible.
And today, the NFL commissioner announcing Michael Vick is locked out of training with the Atlanta Falcons. Now this.
Guys, are you doing the erectile dysfunction two-step? You know, excuses like, I don't have ED, I'm just tired. Even if it only happens once in a while, it could still be ED. But Viagra, also called sildenafil citrate, can help. It's already helped more than 17 million of us. Ask your doctor about Viagra, America's most prescribed ED treatment. And before you know it, you'll be singing a different tune.
Viva Viagra!
Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
Hurricane Dean skipping right past Jamaica, dropping plenty of rain, creating plenty of mud on the island, so plenty of cleanup. Gaining strength, Dean is heading for the Yucatan, where CBS News correspondent Bianca Solorzano is in Cancun's airport.
The big story today, all of the hundreds and hundreds of tourists that are just packed into the airport here trying to get out. The airlines have added extra flights, but all of those are booked. We spoke with some of the tourists. Some of them told us they just were really afraid for their lives and they wanted to make sure they got on flights.
After the Yucatan, Hugh Cobb, National Weather Service.
It brings it across the southern Gulf of Mexico toward the east coast of Mexico, fairly far south of the Texas-Mexican border. So it looks like the threat is being reduced to the United States.
In the United States, Oklahoma, it's like the aftermath of a monsoon.
Here in Kingfisher, Oklahoma, it's pretty much a cleanup operation now for a lot of people. This is the first chance that they're having to see what's left of their homes, what kind of a muddy mess is inside. And they're scraping off sidewalks full of mud and... They're rediscovering their vehicles that were submerged in water for the past couple of days.
As CBS News correspondent Hari Srinivasan, 6 dead in Oklahoma, 8 in Texas, 6 more flood-related deaths in Minnesota. At the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, CBS's Peter King says it's all systems go for an early return of Endeavor.
Shuttle Endeavour's heat shield has passed its final inspection.
We're cleared for entry tomorrow.
Entry Flight Director Steve Stitch says Hurricane Dean is no longer a factor, even though the Florida forecast calls for a slight possibility of showers.
I would say our chances are pretty good.
The main concern, crosswinds on the shuttle's runway. Plan is to land here tomorrow or wait until Wednesday.
Normalcy today as fall classes start at Virginia Tech.
This is Jim Crisul in Blacksburg, Virginia. One Virginia Tech student says the first day of the fall semester was as normal as can be. Junior Stacy Taylor on the mood of the campus.
You move on and you learn, and I think that people would be more cautious and more aware of things and just sort of have a better sense of their surroundings.
Dozens of counselors offered a warm smile, a shoulder to lean on, and someone to talk to. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Blacksburg, Virginia.
On the same day, a group appointed by Virginia's governor meeting in a final closed-door session to finish its report on the massacre in April that left 32 dead. You're listening to the CBS News World Roundup.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here, so you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time, and if you're into trucks, you are going to love this, because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, the classy CRV, or an 8-passenger Pilot for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2007 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 3rd.
With Goodyear, the official tire of NASCAR, you'll feel like you're driving the official pace car of running errands. And now, visit a Goodyear retailer and get up to a $40 gift card by mail-in offer with a purchase of 4 select Goodyear tires, including race-inspired Response Edge. Or double your gift card up to $80 when purchased on your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear, get there. Offer valid 729 through 825.07. Visit GoodyearTires.com or a participating Goodyear retailer for mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval. All trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And if you need to use that antidote to right-wing media, please apply it liberally. Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., live from San Francisco. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Jeff Cohen returns to our program, a media critic, a media activist. He was Phil Donahue's producer at MSNBC before they all got fired for being too left in advance of the war in Iraq. And he's got an interesting story about the connection, an unholy connection, between CNN's Eason Jordan and the Pentagon just before we launched Shock and Awe and began the occupation of Iraq. Jeff Cohen coming up in about half an hour. But first, Christina Larson joins us. She's an editor of the Washington Monthly, and she has a powerful story, which is in the current issue of that magazine and also available online at WashingtonMonthly.com, called The Green Leap Forward, all about China and its sorry environmental situation. Christina, welcome to our program today.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Just fine. Nice to talk with you.
You as well.
So I'm reading this article, and it almost makes me choke just in sympathy for what you endured just as a visitor to China, and it underscores how dangerous the levels of pollution are to people who live there and to competitors who will visit Beijing for the Olympics that'll get underway just about a year from now.
Right. Well, I think one of the things that I tried to highlight in that article is that China's failure to clean up its environment is not a failure to pass laws or regulations related to the environment. In fact, the government in Beijing has become increasingly open about acknowledging its problems, at least domestically. Now, there's still some anxiety if someone like the World Bank wants the Chinese government to sign off on a report. But within China, there's more awareness about environmental problems. I mean, you have to recognize that even the top leaders in Beijing, well, they live in Beijing. So this means that they have experienced firsthand the same problems with smog and decreased visibility, slowing down air traffic. In some cases, flights have to be diverted. The pollution is so bad. So you increasingly have laws that would restrict emissions, that would increase energy efficiency. The problem is in having those laws actually be enforced.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's enumerate the problem, because this is where your article really hit me right between the eyes. 90% of the country's cities, that's China's cities, have contaminated groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
Of the world's 20 most polluted cities, 16 are in China. And you suggest that as much as 40% of the air pollution in South Korea and Japan comes from China, and that on a really bad day, a quarter of Los Angeles's smog originates in China. Now, is this the globalization of pollution?
Indeed. Well, you know, it's funny you put it that way. But, yes, pollution, like international finance and goods and trade, you know, goods don't... It isn't something that's contained within national borders.
Yeah.
So, you know, China's neighbors, especially in Southeast Asia, have been aware of the globalization of pollution for quite a while, as all sorts of gunk goes down the Mekong River into Thailand, Cambodia, and Laos. Or if China chooses to dam its rivers, then they have less water to float their own barges on. But increasingly, yes, we're seeing air pollution come across to Japan, to Korea, and now some scientists who have a station near Lake Tahoe have been able to trace the origins of some of the particulate matter to China.
Mm-hmm. Is there, like, melamine in the sample, or...?
I don't think so. Well, I think that, I should say I'm not a scientist, but from my understanding, there's particular kinds of coal that China burns.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the particulate matter, there's some things that you can say, okay, this kind of particle would only have originated, we know that it's coal, it would have only originated, you know, in a factory like XYZ and match it in that way to China.
Yeah, pollution fingerprinting. I'm sure that there is a science to that.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I know, actually, in particular, one of the things that they're most concerned about is mercury, which is one of the byproducts of dirty coal burning. And I know that, for example, in the Willamette River in Oregon, I believe it's a fourth of the mercury that's in that water. The Fish and Wildlife Service there in Oregon has come from China.
Wow.
And so, you know, when we hear concerns about, you know, I know recently the EPA, there was some discussion about whether or not it would change standards on some emissions. We have to recognize that, you know, once upon a time, it was possible to by and large clean up pollution in the United States by fixing U.S. laws. You know, obviously Los Angeles went through such a great struggle to bring its smog under pollution, or its smog
under control.
And now you have people realizing that it's not just smog that we create, but that it's a worldwide phenomenon.
And this is the import nobody asked for, and you can't even get it at Walmart.
Well, maybe you could, but it wouldn't be labeled smog. It might come in disguise, something labeled, you know, Barbie doll.
Christina Larson with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment about the environmental situation in China and what it's oozing out into our part of the world, feel free to give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, why don't you tell our listeners about Zhao Zhang and the group called Green Camel Bell. That's an environmental organization which appears to be... operating at least unscathed by the Chinese government.
Right. One of the interesting dynamics in China today is that as the official system for enforcing pollution and other regulations is increasingly recognized as inadequate, Beijing has created a limited, albeit significant, space for civil society groups to operate as advocates for the environment. And from the perspective of Beijing, they have a situation where provincial authorities in far-flung provinces will find it in their own economic interest to sort of, you know, give a wink to a factory that they might know is violating national pollution standards, but they'd rather keep the jobs and lure more factories there. However, if you have local advocates sort of raising a stink and putting some, if not obviously electoral pressure, negative publicity on that same factory and provincial official, then there's a way in which local activists and Beijing could have interests in common. And for that reason, Beijing has allowed environmental groups to operate in this way, given they don't cross a certain line. And the group that you mentioned, Green Camel Bell, is one that I visited. I was in China this spring, and I went to the city of Lanzhou. Lanzhou is a city in the west of China. It's where the Silk Road crosses the Yellow River, sort of a once gorgeous and historic part of China, that during the time of Mao became an industrial hub. And the motto then was basically, pollute now, get rich. And so, you know, over the years, this really wonderful city has become so polluted that just to breathe the air there is the equivalent of inhaling a pack of cigarettes a day. And it's one of the places where you have a few environmental groups, one of which is Green Camel Bell, active in doing things like collecting information that is available about to what extent factories follow regulations, news reports about pollution spills. And they are tabulating this information and sending it to another environmental group that's based in Beijing that is taking all this information from groups in cities like Lanzhou across China and putting it into a database called the Water Pollution Map that is available online.
You know, I just tried to pull it up on three different browsers, two different computers, one a Mac and one a PC, and I got bupkis.
You got bupkis.
Yeah.
Let me see if I...
Because I wanted to take a look and violate the rules of radio by showing it to our listeners.
Well, Well, you know, let me see. I don't know. Actually, my computer's off, but I did. It was on as of 2 days ago.
All right, I'm going to give the address, and people can surf for themselves. ipe.org.cn/English. That's ipe.org.cn/English. And what comes up, you describe as a database that allows users to access information about water quality in their region. Now, first of all, is there any good water quality anywhere in China?
You know, that's not a question I could answer. I don't know that there's any good. Yeah, you're right that for the most part, you know, we can get
shades of
gray and shades of black.
Uh-huh.
But the idea, one of the features of the website, is that it allows you to look up by city and also by factory, you know, lists of known violations. And the thinking of the website, which was sort of the brainchild of Ma Jun, who's was the author of a really prominent book about water pollution in the late 90s, Water Pollution in China, and is today seen as one of, you know, China's sort of John Muir leading environmental figures.
Mm-hmm.
The thinking was that you would provide information, that information is the basis of all sort of meaningful civic interaction. And so he wanted advocates in their own cities to be able to access information about water quality. And also for multinational companies who rely upon factories in China to be able to at least see that the factories with which they did business did not appear on lists of known violators.
I see. We're going to take a quick break and return. Christina Larson, editor at Washington Monthly, is with us. A powerful article about pollution in China is available online at WashingtonMonthly.com. If you have a question, give us a call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest on this Monday afternoon. And we got to talk about a big problem right now. It is in Hayward, believe it or not, the San Mateo Bridge, eastbound before the incline. We have what we call a sig alert. A big rig is hanging off the bridge. Emergency crews have the two right lanes shut down. Traffic is slow from 101. The advice here is to use the Dumbarton Bridge as an alternate route, because at this point they don't think everything's going to be cleared up till about 6:30 tonight. Santa Cruz County, southbound 1 at Davenport, a vehicle went off the roadway into a gate. Gonzales Corda at Car Drive, injury crash, pedestrian hit by a vehicle, emergency crews on scene. And actually, traffic in the area is rather backed up, to say the least. This report brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, the cars more people rely on for fuel efficiency than any other nameplate. Test drive your favorite fuel-friendly model at your Toyota dealer today. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We continue our conversation with Christina Larson, editor at Washington Monthly, and their website again, WashingtonMonthly.com. We're talking about her fascinating article about the situation in China. It's called The Green Leap Forward, and they clearly have severe environmental challenges facing them. Christina, during the break, we did bang on the computer, and we got this map to load. But when I click, for example, on water quality summary, I just get a bunch of gibberish.
Yeah, I was looking at it, too. It's much more extensive in Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Which if you just go to www.ipe.org.cn/, that's what was there.
Mm-hmm.
Here you can see the fact that you have these advocates who are appealing to dual audiences. Obviously, if you're an activist in China, you're going to most likely be reading this in Chinese. The
mm-hmm.
fact that an English, a partial English translation exists at all is because they also, you know, advocates in China realize that part of their audience is international.
Right.
But they haven't fully translated all of it. I'm mm-hmm. clicking through it.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, tell us a little more about Ma Jun, because in your article, you describe him as a very hip Western guy and got his Bluetooth accessory. And how does he manage to be, one of the most influential people in China and not lock horns with the government? That's not an easy path to navigate.
It isn't at all. China, the environmentalism such that it exists in China is going to be different than any kind of environmentalism we've ever seen before, because it can't be confrontational in the way that if you think about environmentalism in the United States growing up, modern environmentalism in the 60s and 70s, I mean, it was part of a larger sort of social movement that was based in many ways on saying no to things, you know, saying no to dams, at the same time you're saying no to Vietnam, no to Reagan, no to bras and other things. In China, you can't say no to the government. You have to try to work with the government to find better ways to achieve its objectives. And this has a number of limitations. It also, in some ways, forces environmentalists like Ma Jun to be particularly politically canny. There was no sort of, happy idealism or naivete that I encountered among Chinese environmentalists. People were very pragmatic about specifically what they could achieve and how to achieve it. So Ma Jun he was a journalist throughout the 1990s working for a relatively liberal Hong Kong paper and traveled about reporting on water pollution problems. And then he wrote a book which became quite respected and established him as an expert. And if Chinese government officials are going to deal with a member of the public, they would much rather deal with an expert, with an author, with somebody who has published credentials than with an advocate or a protester. And Ma Jun established himself in that way.
And you cite in the article a minimum $200 billion a year in the cost to the Chinese economy. Is that what is driving their desire to clean up, in part, at least?
Well, there's two huge factors. One is, yeah, exactly that. I mean, basically, if you think about it, the natural resources, how much clean air you have, how much water you have, I mean, it's your warehouse that you need to draw upon to make products. And so even if you decide that you don't really care about people or how smoggy the city are, you need a certain amount of water just to run your coal refineries to keep your economy growing. And so China is looking at a problem where the costs of cleaning up from severe environmental spills and the limitations that dwindling water supplies place on its ability to increase manufacturing capacity, threaten to severely slow down its thus far incredible economic rise.
And Christina, just about 30 seconds remaining. How would you say the Chinese government ranks its priorities? Do they have greater concern over the health of industry than the health of the average citizen?
Well, you know what? China has a whole bunch of priorities all at once. I think they're all true and they're conflicting. One is the economy, for sure. I think they do care about the environment, but they have mutual and in some ways contradictory goals, and they're trying to make them both work at once. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, how they work it out affects not only China, but the rest of the world.
Christina, thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I enjoyed your article.
Thank you, Peter.
Read all about it at WashingtonMonthly.com or just go out and buy the magazine. Go ahead. Christina Larson has been our guest. Coming up next, Jeff Cohen, media critic, talks about CNN and its deal with the Pentagon before the war in Iraq.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross, in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Once, trans fats were everywhere. Now, they're harder to find than tofu in Kansas. Or at least, that's what the labels say. But do the labels tell the truth? More after this.
Hi, I'm Reggie Bush of the New Orleans Saints. If you live for football like I live for football, all you got to do is switch to Dish Network. Get football 24-7 on the NFL Network on Dish Network. Plus, get games 6 nights a week.
With Dish Network, you get over 100 all-digital channels plus local channels for only $34.99 a month. Get a free DVR or HD DVR receiver upgrade plus free standard professional installation. Call 1-888-770-DISH today. Offer ends 1/31/08 and is subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee and 18-month commitment. Restrictions apply.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
How do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
More and more snack foods are stamped with the magical 0 grams trans fat on the label, which instantly makes them into artery-cleansing health foods. Or at least that's what you hope. Except, there may be a loophole. You must take careful note of the serving size, it turns out. For example, I once bought a cookie, a single cookie, which said on the label that it had 150 calories per serving. What I didn't realize until after I bought it was that the single cookie constituted 3 servings. 1 cookie, 3 servings. Apparently, you were supposed to take 1 bite and then rewrap it for tomorrow. Well, federal regulations on trans fats also leave wiggle room. Food labels can list 0 grams of trans fat as long as there's less than 0.5 gram of trans fat per serving. But if you buy, say, a large cookie representing 8 servings, the label could conceivably say 0 trans fats per serving, even though the whole cookie could have close to 4 grams. And keep in mind, the American Heart Association recommends less than 2 per day. So, if you had an 8-serving cookie, the label could say 0, and yet you could still wind up with 4 grams of trans fat following you home. Now even trans fats have their own sleeper cells. Michael Jacobson of the Center for Science and the Public Interest, which is always on the prowl for scofflaw foods, says the only way to protect yourself is to check the list of ingredients for partially hydrogenated oil. If it's mentioned, you have trans fat. What he really wants, of course, is to ban trans fats entirely. You see where this is heading. If the food watchdogs get their way, yet another choice disappears. It's just getting tougher and tougher to eat your way to a premature death anymore. But don't give up, because being Americans, I bet we find a way. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to a lack of sponsors, the revolution will not be televised.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
That's Gil Scott-Heron before they called it rap. And a very powerful indictment of our media, which unfortunately stands today. Jeff Cohen returns to our program. His latest book is Cable News Confidential, where he describes his adventures with MSNBC as a key producer of the late, great Phil Donahue television show. And he's also one of the founders of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, great to be with you.
Thanks for joining us today. And the story that I want to pursue with you is one that goes back a few years. It deals with CNN's coverage of our invasion of Iraq and the subsequent occupation. And at the time, a man named Eason Jordan was running CNN, and we've learned a few interesting details. For example, just recently it was revealed that Donald Rumsfeld actually submitted his resignation the day before the midterm elections, and Bush held on to it until the day after. But as we dig into what went on at the Pentagon, this is a very interesting story, and it also ties together with the work of our mutual friend Norman Solomon and his powerful new documentary based on the book of the same name called War Made Easy.
Well, the interesting thing is we always had this quote from Eason Jordan. He actually went on the air on CNN a few weeks into the invasion of Iraq, and he made this comment that stuck with us for years, and the comment is actually in the movie you just mentioned. Jordan says on a CNN show, and to give you the context, it was a CNN show where they were discussing whether the media had been too negative toward the invasion of Iraq and whether there was too much second guessing that the first 3 weeks of the invasion had not gone exactly to plan. So Eason Jordan, the head of CNN, on CNN says, I think it's important to have experts explain the war and to describe the military hardware, describe the tactics, talk about the strategy behind the conflict. I went to the Pentagon myself several times before the war started and met with important people there and said, for instance, at CNN, here are the generals we're thinking of retaining to advise us on the air and off about the war. And we got a big thumbs up on all of them. That was important, unquote. So you had Eason Jordan sort of bragging that he had gotten a big thumbs up on the proposed retired generals that CNN would use in, as on-air advisors and consultants and analysts during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And the new twist is, as you say, because of Norman's movie, War Made Easy, and a lot of the publicity around that movie.
Which, by the way, let's say, has just gotten a big boost, a theatrical release here on the West Coast.
Right. It'll be opening, I believe, on Friday at the Roxy in San Francisco. And hopefully it'll start opening in other cities. But, you know, the Eason Jordan is in charge of a website about Iraq. And in that website, which had, frankly, a favorable review of Norman's movie.
Oh, really?
Easy. You know, there was one negative in it, and the negative was it claimed that Norman Solomon in the movie had gone too far in criticizing Jordan over that comment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first explanation I'd ever seen from Eason Jordan about why he was bragging that he'd got a thumbs up on the generals that CNN used on the air. He said, how does it go here? Basically, he says that he was vetting these guys like you would vet anyone by going to the former employers And in going to those employers, what he was asking is whether these people had the appropriate knowledge, geographical, military, to be analysts on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of an absurd explanation. It reminds to me, to me, doesn't pass the laugh test.
Yeah.
Because it would be like saying if you ran a sports network and you were thinking of having these people that had been in baseball for 20 years, and before you decided whether they could be or could not be analysts of your, color people on your baseball games, you went to their managers to make sure that these 20-year veteran baseball players knew baseball. I mean, here's the exact quote from Eason Jordan. Employers routinely vet prospective employees with their previous employers. In these cases, we vetted retired generals to ensure that they were experts in specific military and geographic areas. The generals were not vetted for political views.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of where the statement was originally made on CNN, Eason Jordan is trying to assure people that, no, we haven't been overly negative to the Iraq invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that context that he says, we got a big thumbs up on these guys. The fact is that CNN has been so close to the military for so many years, it isn't funny. It's important for us to remember that CNN became a news network of stature. It was basically made by the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a war where they paraded, just like this last one, that was a war where they paraded all the retired generals, the retired colonels, and most of what those guys told us was wrong. Those guys didn't have to be opposed. They weren't asked tough questions. They didn't participate in debates. But if you remember the first Gulf War, they were telling us how successful the Patriot intercept missiles were, when in fact they were a complete failure.
Right.
They were telling us how much of these are these smart precision-guided weapons. And then we learn that not only were those smart bombs not so precision, that it was less than 8% of the total weaponry used in the first Gulf War that were actually so-called smart weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, everything we learned about the military from these generals, retired generals, was wrong the first time. And, when I see Eason Jordan still trying to defend his cozy relationship with the Pentagon all these years later, I remember that in 1994 they had me on CNN to debate this very issue of whether the coverage is just too dominated by retired generals.
Yeah.
And they were so squeamish about it. I remember they gave me a fair shake, and I went up against one of these retired. He was actually a retired colonel. And he was saying, look, we won the war. What's all the, it was we.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you're a news analyst or a journalist, you're supposed to be independent of the state. It's not supposed to be we. So, the great thing about War Made Easy, the movie, is that it smoked them out further. It's bringing more attention to what I encountered when I was at MSNBC in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, which is complete collusion and coziness between the TV news networks and the Pentagon.
Jeff Cohen with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got the clip from War Made Easy, and we'll play the audio for our listeners here in just a second. But I can't help telling you, what we did, I was doing a show on satellite radio at the time that we started this war with Iraq. And as our satirical approach to that, we had a character named General Jimbo. And he was represented by a talent agency called General Talent. And we would call over there to get our latest propaganda update. And Jimbo would get on the phone, get ready to deliver the report. But he would always bail out because he got a call from a better network. So
yeah.
Brian Williams was calling or Aaron Brown was calling. And we never, ever quite got to the reports. But, it was my way of sending this up because every network had their rent-a-general. And as you pointed out, Jeff, most of what they fed us was either, Pentagon press releases and spin or things that simply didn't prove to be true after the fact.
And look at the people that were on the air in the run-up to the Iraq War, people like General Barry McCaffrey. Everything he said, everything he predicted was laughably wrong. He once went on about how great the pre-invasion planning was for the occupation by Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld. And they've really been doing a lot of thinking about what to do after they after they take over Baghdad. And he talked about how there'd be weapons of mass destruction everywhere.
Well, you know, Barry McCaffrey really, I think, established himself because he was such a victorious leader of the war on drugs.
Right, and there's no drug addiction or drug abuse today.
No, we won that war, and Barry McCaffrey did it single-handedly. So, you know, for him to go on and claim these other kinds of victories is just as credible. Let's listen to this clip. Again, the documentary War Made Easy is out and available. War Made Easy, the movie.org is the website where you can get your very own copy of it. But let's listen to this clip about CNN's Eason Jordan.
In the run-up to the war in Iraq, the failure of mainstream news organizations to raise legitimate questions about the government's rush to war was compounded by the network's deliberate decision to stress military perspectives before any fighting had even begun.
We've got generals, and if you ask them about the prospects for war with Iraq, they think it is almost certain.
I got to pause. That's the late Aaron Brown. He's still alive, but they booted him off CNN after Anderson Cooper emoted at Hurricane Katrina. And they actually had a meter up there on the screen that reminds me of Queen for a Day. It's a little meter about whether we're going to war or not based on the comments of these generals.
CNN's use of retired generals as supposedly independent experts reinforced a decidedly military mindset, even
Wesley
as serious
Clark.
Questions remained about the wisdom and necessity of going to war.
Often journalists blame the government for the failure of the journalists themselves to do independent reporting.
This is Norman Solomon.
But nobody forced the major networks like CNN to do so much commentary from retired generals and admirals and all the rest of it. You had a top CNN official named Eason Jordan going on the air of his network and boasting that he had visited the Pentagon with a list of possible military commentators. And he asked officials at the Defense Department whether that was a good list of people to hire.
Well, I think it's important to have experts explain
the war. This is Eason Jordan himself.
To describe the military hardware, describe the tactics, talk about the strategy behind the conflict. I went to the Pentagon myself several times before the war started, met with important people there, and said, for instance, at CNN, here are the generals we're thinking of retaining to advise us on the air and off about the war, and we got a big thumbs up on all of them. That was important.
It wasn't even something to hide, ultimately. It was something to say to the American people on his own network, see, we're team players. We may be the news media, but we're on the same side and the same page as the Pentagon. And that really runs directly counter to the idea of an independent press. And that suggests that we have some deep patterns of media avoidance when the U.S. is involved in a war based on lies.
That's Norman Solomon speaking there from the documentary War Made Easy. There's a book of the same name, and it's very powerful stuff. Norman's been a frequent guest on our program. We're talking with Jeff Cohen, his friend and colleague. They have worked together in many fronts over the years. And, Jeff, this is mind-boggling to really refresh people's memories about this. We need to take a break here, and when we return, I want to talk with you about some recent viewing I did of CNN International and how that network differs from what we see on CNN here in the United States. We'll take a break and return. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. If you're in Atlanta, hey, we'll talk to you too. 888-5-PETER-B. That's our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
As long as there's been man, there have been UFO sightings. The Bible speaks of UFOs. People report sightings daily, so why doesn't this information make the news? Find out at the Bay Area UFO Expo, San Jose Doubletree Inn. Over 80 exhibitors, hosts, Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, Jesse Marcel Jr., John Lear, Sean David Morton, and others cover subjects including UFOs, Sasquatch, Kabbalistic healings, ET encounters, Tesla technology, Earth mysteries, and much more. The 9th annual Bay Area UFO Expo.com at the San Jose Doubletree Inn this Saturday, Sunday, August 25th, 26th. Your chance to go above top secret at the Bay Area UFO Expo.com.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. Starting off with a multitude of problems, we're going to cruise right on over to Gonzales Quarter Road. A car injury crash. Pedestrians hit by a vehicle. Emergency crew now on scene helping that individual out. I'm going to mention a couple of big problems. I'm going to tell you about San Mateo Bridge eastbound before. Looks like right at the incline. We have a big rig that's hanging off the side of the bridge. Crews still have the two right lanes shut down. Use the Dumbarton Bridge as an alternative route. Things should be cleared up by about 6:30. Meanwhile, we also want to tell you about a problem working in Monterey, northbound 1 at Monterey's two-car crash, center divide, Soledad, northbound 101 before Arroyo Seco. It is several boxes of broccoli in the lanes there. Go figure that. And this report is brought to you by JCPenney.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next hour, it's open phones. We throw open the switchboard and take your calls on any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We call it the free speech zone, and in many cases, the First Amendment is still in full effect. Unless, of course, you have been designated an unlawful enemy combatant. Jeff Cohen with us. We're talking about Norman Solomon's new documentary, War Made Easy. We're talking about the commentary of Eason Jordan, the former head of CNN, as he bragged about his consultation with the Rumsfeld Pentagon on which generals to put on television to feed us with propaganda. And Jeff, Danny Schechter, who I know you know, pointed this out to me first, but on a recent trip to Europe, I spent a little bit of time watching CNN International. And there was very little coverage of the war in Iraq, and really just headlines at the time that bridge had fallen down in Minnesota, and that was the story they were covering the most. But in between that was a lot of advertorial stuff that we would consider infomercial material here in the U.S., where they were tooting the horn of China about its plans to host the Beijing Olympics just a year from now. And while the packages included some critical reporting about human rights, about pollution, and some of the other issues, it was very clear that there was a positive spin and there was promotion of international business with China, really woven into these reports. And I mention this just to give a current example, but going back to the time of March of 2003, CNN International split off the feed from CNN Domestic, the signal coming out of Atlanta, because the domestic consumption was full of American flags and patriotic music and different kinds of graphics that were intended to show that, just like Fox, that CNN is on the side of the United States in this war against Iraq.
No doubt. I mean, all of the networks were doing that. Whenever you travel around the world and you look at CNN International, you do see news stories that are not from the U.S. perspective. Indeed, they're stories that if the producers put them on the air in CNN nationally out of Atlanta, they'd probably lose their jobs. I can remember seeing some stories about Palestinian rights on CNN International that never, ever could have run on CNN National.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt about it, but you make a good point about waving the flag. You know, I was at MSNBC in the run-up to the Iraq invasion, and there a memo surfaced in March of 2003. It had been written weeks earlier, and it talked about how their nightmare was that the Phil Donahue show, that it would become, and I'm quoting from the memo, a home for the liberal anti-war agenda at the same time that our competitors are waving the flag at every opportunity, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, MSNBC's solution was to get rid of Donahue, stop any independent reporting or skepticism or opposing views, and start waving the flag.
Yeah.
And that's I think, what's shown so brilliantly in War Made Easy. That, you know, independent journalism is never more needed than when an administration is trying to drive the country to war or military intervention. And that's usually when, in our corporate media, independent media just shrinks.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eason Jordan presently has a website that at least features his name and picture called IraqSlogger.com. And it's written, Insight, Scoops, and Blunders. As I'm looking at it, it appears to be, on the face of it, somewhat balanced. But I also sense a tilt toward the Bush administration and the Maliki government in Baghdad.
Well, I think there's a tilt that way in general in mainstream corporate media here. And I wouldn't expect anything out of Eason Jordan that was that independent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we have to keep in mind who their experts were, who their experts are that Eason Jordan selected. I mean, there's nothing more important than media managers do than to construct a frame of discourse, a frame of debate, their decision on who's an acceptable expert and who isn't. At CNN, one of the most acceptable experts then and now is a former CIA official named Kenneth Pollack. And Kenneth Pollack, in advance of the invasion of Iraq, was just fervently pushing for the invasion. He went on every show he could saying that Saddam had these weapons of mass destruction and was a serious threat to our country. In fact, Pollack, who is a regular on CNN then and is still on CNN now, Pollack went on the Oprah show before the Iraq invasion and said that Saddam could use weapons of mass destruction against us in our own homeland. Now, you know, if you're at Eason Jordan, whether you run a website or whether you run CNN today, if you looked at these people that were so wrong in advance of the invasion, like the former CIA analyst Ken Pollack, the former general, and as you say, Clinton drug czar Barry McCaffrey, all of these people who got it wrong consistently month after month and misinformed their viewers, and you still have these people on the air now, you're basically saying that you've abdicated any journalistic responsibility, that you're basically choosing people, if you pardon the expression, getting a big thumbs up mm-hmm. on your potential on-air talent based on their political and philosophical views rather than whether they've done accurate reporting or analysis.
Well, I'm looking here diligently, trying to see if either Jeff Gannon or Curveball writes a column for IraqSlogger.com.
Well, I mean, in fairness to IraqSlogger.com, and they may be getting some of the most publicity they've gotten out of your program or your station, they did run this review
mm-hmm.
of Norman Solomon's movie, and I should say produced by the Media Education Foundation, War Made Easy, and it was a 90% positive review.
Uh-huh.
What stuck out at what jumped out at us was that they went to Eason Jordan, who runs their website, and allows him to do spin that is laughable on its face. But I think it shows that, you know, the power of the independent media, the power of radio shows like yours and independent documentaries like War Made Easy, that if you push hard enough, and you push hard enough, and you push hard enough, I mean, Fair has been using that Eason Jordan quote from the day it was uttered till today, and finally you force them to at least put out a statement. It may not be one that's credible, but at least they have to defend how they acted during this crucial time when Bush was dragging our country and the world to war based on deception.
Well, and at least I didn't have to sign up for the premium service at Iraq Slogger to get this, but they are offering me a $495 book with a guide to Baghdad's bridges. I wonder if they update that on a daily basis. Jeff Cohen, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. The Free Speech Zone is next. Your calls and comments. Welcome to 888-5-PETER-B.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Quarterback Michael Vick running out of room to scramble, agreeing to plead guilty to dogfighting charges.
Now that Michael Vick has agreed to a plea deal with federal prosecutors in Richmond, Virginia on dogfighting charges, the NFL says it's wrapping up its own investigation of the Atlanta quarterback. In a written statement, a leaked spokesman says, quote, "We totally condemn the conduct outlined in the charges, which is inconsistent with what Michael Vick previously told both our offices and the Falcons." The league asks Falcons team owner Arthur Blank to withhold any punishment of his one-time protege, pending a decision from the commissioner. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
The commissioner today laying down one rule right now, barring Michael Vick from the Atlanta Falcons training facility. Hurricane Dean expected to be named a Category 5 hurricane any time. With winds of more than 150 miles an hour, Dean is right now sucking up more strength from the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico and bearing down on the Yucatan Peninsula. That's where CBS's Bianca Solorzano is reporting.
Dean's eye is now expected to hit a well south of Cancun here, about 100 miles south, and south of Tulum, which is another tourist spot, also home to Mayan ancient ruins and pyramids.
Mass evacuations underway in Belize, just to the south. Death and destruction in the wake of flooding in Minnesota.
We are going to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have damaged or destroyed homes, who don't have insurance, who are underinsured, or have some other issue about the need to rebuild.
Governor Tim Pawlenty, 6 dead in Minnesota, floodwaters claiming another 6 lives in Oklahoma, 8 in Texas. In Huntington, Utah, an atmosphere of anger. Families of missing minors speaking up.
My brother is trapped underground. I'm hearing that they're basically giving up, and that's unacceptable. I can't live with that. His family can't live with that. One way or the other, we've got to have closure.
Recovery efforts have pulled back at the mine, where 6 men have been buried for 2 weeks now. They are meeting in what is called the largest log cabin in the world. 2 presidents and a prime minister, and outside, there are a few more.
Outside the fence line erected around the summit site, hundreds of protesters gather to decry the talks between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. They're against what the leaders call the Security and Prosperity Partnership, believing it will come at the expense of Canadian sovereignty. The demonstrators were held at bay by hundreds of police in riot gear, including helmets, face shields, gas masks, and billy clubs. Mark Noller, CBS News, Gatineau, Canada.
And just in the last few minutes, Mexican President Felipe Calderon announcing he is cutting short his visit to Canada. He'll be returning home tomorrow because of Hurricane Dean, which is just off Mexico. While Virginia Tech students starting their first day of classes of the new school year today, a group appointed by Virginia's governor meeting today in a final closed-door session to finish its report on the campus massacre that left 32 dead in April. This is CBS News.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. You'll never pay too much because Office Depot guarantees their low prices. Plus, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school for all your qualifying school supply purchases. That's 5% teachers can use for classroom supplies. So not only will you find everything you need at guaranteed low prices, you'll also help your local school. Office Depot, taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
It's like an epidemic. Another big lender name bites the dust. What's in your mortgage portfolio? Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv.
You've heard of Greenpoint, a lender that works almost entirely through mortgage brokers. You won't be hearing much more about it. Greenpoint is owned by Capital One, which announces it's closing down that subsidiary, firing around 1,900 employees. The bank says the long-term profitability for the mortgage business has been reduced by subprime mortgages, meaning borrowers who barely qualify? No, Capital One says jumbo loans to prime borrowers will also be a, quote, challenged market. Dan Raviv, CBS News.
Leona Helmsley is dead. Helmsley ran a $5 billion real estate empire, including managing the Empire State Building. Employees testifying at her 1989 tax evasion trial about how she terrorized her workers. That sealed her tabloid image as the Queen of Mean. Dead at 87. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Guys, are you doing the erectile dysfunction two-step? You know, excuses like, I don't have ED, I'm just tired. Even if it only happens once in a while, it could still be ED. But Viagra, also called sildenafil citrate, can help. It's already helped more than 17 million of us. Ask your doctor about Viagra, America's most prescribed ED treatment. And before you know it, you'll be singing a different tune. Viva!
Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to Peter B.'s America. The free speech zone is wide open for your phone calls. No baseball preemptions today, so your path is clear. I've got lines available for you right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We talked about the love fest for Karl Rove on the Sunday talk shows. David Enders gave us a gripping report from Iraq. He's just back a week. Christina Larson talked about the incredible pollution in China. And Jeff Cohen about collusion between CNN and the Pentagon in the coverage of the war and the selection of those Renta generals.
Country right or wrong.
Midnight Oil, Peter Garrett and the band from Way Down Under, My Country, Right or Wrong. Well, the Bush administration is contemptible. There's no question about that. We just got word this afternoon that that long-awaited and hyped report that's coming from Ambassador Ryan Crocker and General David Petraeus is likely to be scheduled for September 11th of 2007. And you want to laugh if it weren't so tragic. The way they have continued to use that tragic day, and as you know, I still have many questions about why it happened and who's responsible and what really happened that day, but let's just take for a minute that the media's portrayal of 9/11 is it, okay? The way it's been exploited by Bush and the Republicans is beyond shameless. 2004, they scheduled a Republican convention for New York City and scheduled it to end. I don't recall exactly, but it was on the 10th or the 11th. And now, since we know that there was absolutely no frickin' connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11, they're shamelessly trotting it out again. And it's interesting because today I scheduled an interview for the end of next week with a New York City police commander who was in charge of the 9/11 Ground Zero site during the entire cleanup process. And I was talking with his PR person, and I said, you know, you don't have to wait until September to talk about that. That's an artificial way the media locks onto the calendar and says that because it happened X number of years ago, you should care about it today. Well, I think the failures of 9/11 should be explored every day of the year. And we don't need an anniversary, a phony one at that, to prompt more attention. So the police commander will be on with us, I think, a week from Friday. But speaking of contempt, Patrick Leahy, who is slow to anger but does have a temper, the Democratic senator who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, he's not very pleased with the response he got from the White House today for production of documents. Let's listen to Senator Leahy's remarks.
Comply with the Judiciary Committee's subpoena for its legal analysis gives me, as chairman, very, very little comfort. I received a letter this morning from the office of the vice president identifying some documents that would be responsive to the committee subpoena. Now, the acknowledgement of these documents is a good first step. I don't know why it's taken so long, but it's a good first step, and it should be followed by the administration turning them over, which, of course, is what we requested in the subpoena. I've worked in good faith with this administration. I first sought this information voluntarily. I accommodated requests for time. But when the request for more time was simply followed by delay upon delay, we issued subpoenas and a bipartisan vote, and even then, when the subpoenas weren't followed through, we gave them more time. The time is up. Time is up. Waited long enough.
Well, it's about time, Senator. I've been impatient far longer than you, and I do give you credit for all those efforts that you made to deal in good faith with this administration, but that, frankly, is a mistake, and it shows a certain naivete for a man who's been in Washington for 30 years. You can't make a deal with this administration. They won't honor it. They'll give you a signing statement. They'll stonewall you. And when confronted with a stonewall, you throw croutons? How about some rocks, Senator?
Incidentally, in the administration's response today, they claim the office of the vice president is not part of the executive office of the president. So some kind of fourth branch of government. Well, that's wrong.
I thought we'd been through that cartoon already.
The United States Code says it is part of the president. Oh, incidentally, at least this morning, as I left Vermont, I checked the White House website. And even their own website, this morning at least, says that the executive office of the that the vice president is part of the executive office of the president.
What's your next step?
Well, I had hoped that by now they would have answered. They haven't. When the Senate comes back in session, I'll bring it up before the committee. And I prefer cooperation to contempt. But right now, there's no question they're in contempt of a valid order of the Congress.
Yes. So let's leave it there. Senator Leahy, a good man. I don't dispute that for a moment. But this is another lame Democratic effort to put a little bit of pressure on the Bush White House. And it is time to stop these half measures, to stop the politeness, to stop the BS, to stop letting them delay, and lower the boom on these people. You've got the power. You've got the majority. And you've got them on the run, note Karl Rove leaving the government. And the senator's going to wait until his colleagues are back in session. And this news conference was an effort to draw attention to this issue. And again, I'm not, you know, just taking a swipe gratuitously at Senator Leahy. But it's about time that the Democrats adopt some new strategies and stop splitting the difference and trying to cut deals with this White House, because it will not work. And the next step should not be to consult with your colleagues, Senator. It should be to demand the impeachment of Alberto Gonzalez. And there, from there, you shouldn't relent. The next step is to demand the impeachment of Dick Cheney. Well, that's my thought. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Laird is first on the line from Eureka today. Welcome, Laird.
Hi, Peter. Actually, I thought September 11th was one word.
And it changed everything. We know that.
I wanted to talk about Jose Padilla real quick.
Sure.
I've got 3 points I'd like to make. I'll try and be quick. I was saddened to see that he was convicted the other day. The amount of time, money, and effort spent for the questionable result of the security achieved seemed at best to be an exercise by the government and cover their asses.
Yep.
Can I say ass?
Yes, you can.
Ass. I was saddened to see that Padilla was convicted the other day. In my mind, the only court he belongs in, after the way he had been treated for the last 3+ years, is a civil court.
Mm-hmm.
The government should be the defendant, and the penalty should be not how much more time he spends in jail, but how much money the government owes him. And finally, I was saddened and frightened to see that Jose Padilla was convicted the other day. I could be next.
Well, you're right, Laird, and I agree with you on all counts. Now, I will say this, that I believe this was a political trial. I believe that they could not, even after torturing this guy, come up with sufficient evidence to convict him the way John Ashcroft convicted him in public before the guy, you know, ever saw a courtroom or an attorney. And while I cannot say for a fact that Jose Padilla is an innocent man, I can say that he was railroaded and that his prosecution was not a fair one, was not one that is consistent with our constitutional values and his constitutional rights as a U.S. citizen. And therefore, I have to remain highly skeptical of the result. And Laird, on Wednesday, Lou Cook will return to our program. He covered the trial, blogged it for Fire Dog Lake. He's a veteran reporter who's seen many trials, and before the verdict came in, he said he could not anticipate a guilty verdict in this case because the government's evidence was so weak. And what we see is that they have a form that Jose Padilla apparently filled out, and it has his fingerprints. Now, the fingerprints could have been added later, like when he was in the brig in Charleston for 3 years incommunicado, but I'll put that aside. Apparently, he filled out this form to enter an Al-Qaeda training camp, and he did it in the year 2000. The president was Bill Clinton. 9/11 hadn't occurred. Nobody, you know, had a good sense in this country who Al-Qaeda was. And so I don't know what Jose Padilla's motives were for going to Afghanistan, but it's fair to say that he didn't do this as a response to 9/11 and a desire to join the jihad or the al-Qaeda ranks. And given that information, this is a highly suspicious conviction. And the way the government operated is shameful and very un-American. Go ahead, Larry.
It's my understanding from Amy
Goodman
that there were actually two different pens used on this thing. There were two different dates on it. Some of the handwriting looked different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole thing is just stinks. One other thing, though, before I hang up.
Go ahead.
Has anyone besides me noticed that Bush has already declared Texas to be an official disaster area, even though the hurricane hasn't hit Texas yet?
Well, that's in honor of Karl Rove's return.
I guess.
Thank you, Laird. More of your calls coming up next. It's the Free Speech Zone. Lines open for you, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest, starting off with the problem in Live Oak, Capitola Road. The exit there at Rodriguez Street, a crash being reported, and no other details at this point. Meanwhile, we're also going to take a look at a problem in Santa Clara, San Tomas Expressway, at El Camino Real, left turn lane block there due to a crash. Salinas Market Street between Monterey Street and Salinas, road construction being reported there, and we can tell you this, you can expect delays. We have detours in effect. Meanwhile, in Santa Cruz, the work on one of the Eveline Avenue off-ramps shut down until the summer of 2008. Monterey Highway 1, northbound and southbound between Santa Cruz and Monterey. No problems reported this time. This report brought to you by Sears Auto Center. For a limited time, you get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with a purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. I just got some very interesting news from our friend Brad Friedman at bradblog.com about some developments related to electronic voting machines and perhaps a source of evidence for the fraud in Ohio in 2004. I'll bring you that information in about 10 minutes, but there's some people on hold, patiently, I hope. And here in the Free Speech Zone, our mission is to get your calls on the air. You can call in right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Dave is next from Eureka. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. I thought I'd better call you because people say, I was wondering, I'm glad you're well. I hadn't heard you on Peter for a few days.
Well, we were eclipsed by baseball last week, but that's not a problem anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was wondering if you had a chance to watch any of the George Stephanopoulos joint appearance last Sunday.
Well, thank you for your language. Joint appearance is correct. In fact, I flipped on the tube last night and caught the last 3 minutes on a C-SPAN replay. And so that was not very satisfying. And I'm going to have to get a little better organized, Dave. There have been so many of these presidential forums that I actually didn't know this one was coming, and so I missed it. But well, there has been some reporting, and curiously and predictably enough, in the New York Times, there's a half page devoted to last night's Iowa forum, and Dennis Kucinich gets the closing two paragraphs. At the rare Sunday morning political gathering, one question arose about the power of prayer, which afforded Dennis Kucinich of Ohio the opportunity to voice his displeasure that he was not called upon for a question until well into the debate. I've been standing here for the last 45 minutes, Kucinich said with a smile, praying to God you were going to call on me. Now, that's all that Kucinich got. And some independent surveys taken at the various recent forums show that when people are asked who's best on the issues, Dennis Kucinich places first or second.
Yes, indeed he does. And mainstream media, and George Stephanopoulos is a part of it, is supposed to minimize Dennis Kucinich and Edwards and make it that they are not, they don't have much of a chance. And they're doing that deliberately. These are guys that say, I would give health care for all, and I would tax the very rich. I would take away their tax breaks to do it. And that's as un-American as you can get in the opinion of the neocons.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, my observation of them is that they are all so much better prepared to discuss all the issues. The Republicans, if you get away from religion and stem cells and gay marriage, they don't know what they don't know what to talk about. It's just baffling.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, though, Dennis Kucinich is by far the best. The little bit of time that they allow him, he uses it well. He gets the truth right out to us.
Well, and I really wish that people like Joe Biden, I think Senator Dodd has some interesting points. I certainly support his initiatives to repeal the Military Commissions Act. But these guys are going nowhere, and they ought to get out of the way so that we could have a debate that features Clinton and Edwards and Obama and Kucinich and really get to the issues, because those other people in the middle really are not getting any traction, and they're wasting our time in a lot of ways.
Well, it's the feeling that they're running for cabinet-level positions with whoever comes in first, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate your call. Now to Biz in Montana. Hello, Biz.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Well, good. I was delighted to hear that you had such a good time in Italy, but we certainly did miss you out here.
Well, I'm glad that you take the trouble to listen online, and I'm getting closer, Biz.
Oh, good. Well, good.
We launched in Laurel, Montana today near Billings.
Yes, I heard that, and I wanted to congratulate you for having a presence up here in this big state.
Well, thanks. I'd love to be on in every major city there in Montana.
I wish you were a little bit closer, but I can still hear you, and I listen to you every single day, weekday, and often find your program so good that I podcast them and listen again.
Well, that's great. In fact, I can't announce it yet, but we have a new development in podcasting, which is going to make it easier, and we're going to be able to edit out the breaks so that you'll get all of the content just compressed into one podcast file.
Well, that would be even better, but it's just good the way it is even. So I wanted to thank you for having David Enders on.
Yeah.
I have watched with great interest the continued proclamation that there is such a large presence in Iraq as what they're calling Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I haven't believed it from the beginning.
No, me either. You know, we're fighting them over there, so Bush doesn't have to fight us over here.
Yes. Well, I wish the American people would listen carefully to what they're being told,
mm-hmm,
and be more discriminating in what they believe, perhaps.
Yeah. I think skepticism is a very important ingredient in surviving these days. Biz, I'm up against the break. Thanks for your call.
You're entirely welcome. Take
All right,
care, Peter.
We'll talk soon. I'm Peter B. Collins. Lines open for you. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, Bob Oliver. Don't miss UFO sightings around Monterey Bay. 11 a.m. Saturday on KRXA 540. Phone us live on air. Help confirm many local UFO stories. Then August 25th, 26th, it's the Bay Area UFO Expo with over 80 exhibitors and speakers at San Jose's DoubleTree Inn. UFOs are real.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins, and this week I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Mazda Miata MX-5, a two-door roadster with a hardtop convertible. It's got a fuel-injected 2-liter four-cylinder all-aluminum engine and a 6-speed manual. The Miata's quick and nimble, takes you from 0 to 60 as fast as you can shift. The Miata's low slung hugs the road with great cornering. With four-wheel independent suspension, the rear-drive Miata passed our grueling hill climb test with ease, unlike other rear-drive coupes I've tested. I give Mazda high marks for the engineering on the retractable hardtop roof. You push the button, and in 12 seconds, it opens the trunk, retracts the roof. I think it'll require less maintenance than more complex systems used by Mercedes and Chrysler. One downside, when the top is up, it's pretty noisy inside the cockpit. By the numbers, the Mazda Miata MX-5, rated 24 mpg in the city, 30 on the highway, stickers in California for about $28,000. I'm Peter B.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans. One is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. People say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to.
All day long.
Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Yeah, we just steal elections and run the country into the ground. We're the Republicans. I'm Peter B. We're going to take more calls here in a moment. You can grab a line. There's some open for you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. But as promised, I got an interesting bulletin from his Bradness, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. And this is a little complicated, but it's very interesting. As you know, here in California, the new Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, came into office in January and immediately announced a top-to-bottom review of, in particular, electronic voting machines. And she issued an order at the end of July, basically saying that, the various registrars of voters and county election officials have to take a hard look, and that most of them cannot comply with the standards needed to use these machines. So she put them on a diet, and as I understand it, election precincts will be permitted to have only one electronic voting machine, and it's for people who want to use it, or handicapped or other disabled individuals who find it easier to use that kind of a machine to vote. So as a part of this top-to-bottom review, the experts here in California figured out that some of the electronic voting machines have a more detailed memory and a record-keeping system than anyone imagined. The UC study detailed a failure to protect ballot secrecy in Diebold's touchscreen AccuVote TSX voting machine. And they report that both the electronic and paper records of the machine contain enough information to compromise the secrecy of the ballot. The TSX records records votes in the order in which they are cast, and it records the time that each vote is cast. As a result, it is possible for election workers who have access to the electronic or paper records and who have observed the order in which individuals have cast their ballots to discover how those individuals voted. All right. Now, that on the face of it, that's a compromised situation. That is a breach of security that should give anyone serious pause. Now, in an article published by CNET today, UC computer science professor David Wagner reiterates the same concerns about Diebold, now called Premier's, DRE voting systems. He says, this summer I learned that Diebold's TSX touchscreen voting machine stores a timestamp showing the time which each vote was cast, down to the millisecond, along with the electronic record of that vote. He said, in particular, we discovered this as part of the California top-to-bottom review and reported it in our public report on the Diebold voting system. Now, what if we apply this to Ohio, the scene of the heist in 2004? Now, one problem has surfaced, and that is that many county registrars of voters or election officials in Ohio have destroyed the ballots and other records from the 2004 presidential canvass. And so it's not clear if all of the data remain for a forensic analysis. But consider a positive use of the data trail from these electronic voting machines. It now appears possible that we could go back to the remaining records from the Ohio vote, bust open these computerized voting machines, and we might actually be able to learn how certain people voted and then how their votes were actually recorded. And a discrepancy would show that fraud occurred after the ballots were cast and before the totals were announced. So this is a very interesting development. We will contact our colleagues in Columbus, Ohio, Bob Petrakis and Harvey Wasserman, and see if we can get more information on this. But if you follow me, what is one of the biggest vulnerabilities and security breaches of touchscreen voting machines may provide the ultimate proof that John Kerry did win Ohio in 2004, and that Bush, Ken Blackwell, perhaps Karl Rove, colluded to prevent reality from catching up with their fantasy of a second Bush term. So we'll follow this carefully, and certainly on Friday when Brad Friedman is with us for his regular visit, we will talk about this and get more details out there for you. I've got one caller on the line. The rest of you, step on up. Line's open. I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's John in Carmel Valley. Thanks for holding, John. You're on the air.
Yes, earlier you had a guest in the very beginning of your program with a remark of Barack Obama and the big stir it caused within the Republicans about events in Afghanistan. He mentioned,
right.
Didn't he mention that there had been a lot of civilian deaths from some of our actions there?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. We were talking with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America, and in particular, he was critical of a report on ABC News, which referred to remarks that Obama had made in one of those forums, a joint appearance with other candidates. And they edited it down. The soundbite was so brief that it wasn't even a complete sentence with a verb. It just implied criticism of American troops in Afghanistan for the tactics that we have been using. And it was out of context. It was inaccurate. And it was the kind of reporting that unfortunately we're seeing more and more of, where these debates are watched by a very small audience, but then the media lifts out a gaffe or a misstatement or something that can be construed that way, and then that becomes part of the historical record without anybody, you know, objectively reporting on it or actually, you know, going back to the original tape.
Yeah, but it fits with the kind of thinking that got us into Afghanistan in the first place, which was totally wrong-headed. If what we really wanted to do was to get Osama, you don't invade a whole country just to get one guy or even a couple connected with him. That was totally unnecessary, and it was extremely immoral in the sense that today I heard an interesting hour-long discussion on NPR on Tom Ashbrook's program where they were discussing a number of guests about how things were going in Afghanistan, and the consensus was they're not going well at all.
Right.
But somebody mentioned that when the Soviets had their war with the Afghans, when they tried to take over that country in the early 80s, 1 million plus Afghans lost their lives. And I remember Bernie Ward, I so admired him for this. I rarely listen to him anymore. I should. I just got out of the habit. But he very loudly on his program said, we've got no business going in there because the Afghan people, one of the poorest nations on earth, have already suffered too horribly for too long. with the Soviet attempt at a takeover. And here we go, tearing in there without a micro amount of thought about what we might wreak on them in addition to what they've already suffered. And that's never discussed practically. It wasn't even made much of an issue on that Tom Ashbrook program.
Mm-hmm. No,
but
you're
it rattles
right.
around incessantly in my mind, and I think there is as much evidence that we should have never gone into Afghanistan as there is regarding Iraq. Iraq was just another, after that stupidity and immorality, it was almost inevitable that we would do another thing like Bush pulled on Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, you make a couple of good points. First of all, I share your concern, and I will acknowledge that in many discussions, I gloss over Afghanistan because, you know, in many people's minds, it's a closed case. It was the right thing to do. It was the response to 9/11. The Taliban was, you know, providing aid and comfort to Osama bin Laden, all of that stuff. But for me, as a pragmatist, I simply look at the failed Soviet occupation in the 1980s and ask ourselves, we can do better? We can take that country, and you accurately described it. It's a very difficult, inhospitable terrain. It is peopled by folks who have been conquered and liberated, you know, tens of times in their incredible long history. And we went in there without a clue as to that history and the legacy there. And really, you know, Reagan gets credit for bringing down the Soviet Union. It was really they're getting bogged down in Afghanistan that caused a whole lot of internal dissension and helped the military unravel and cost the Soviet Union so much money that they had to rethink their policies and move toward the glasnost and perestroika. And so if you want to unravel an empire, hey, go invade and occupy Afghanistan.
I hope that if there is a silver lining to all of this colossal insanity that we're having to endure now and have been enduring for some time, that we learn such a lesson from both Afghanistan and Iraq that we never stick our big nose in another country's business like we have almost every president. What president didn't do something like in Afghanistan? It might have been on a smaller scale, but there's got to be some change about this whole, that the president has a free hand anytime he thinks he wants to do this kind of thing. This was just a bigger extension of what we've already been into for too much of our history.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see it stopped for moral reasons, if no other. If we stand for what we like to think we do for the right, this is exactly the wrong thing to do if we really mean that we stand for the right.
Well, and John, I again bring us back to Denis Kucinich. He has the clearest positions on these issues, and he's the one who has, in an interesting way, borrowed a phrase from Richard Nixon and turned it upside down. Nixon talked about peace with honor and peace through strength. And what Kucinich has as a slogan now at his presidential campaign website is strength through peace.
Totally agree with that, and it's not idyllic or airy thinking at all. I would have thought so not that long ago. It took me forever to get to the point where I just think war is the problem, causing dislocation for people, even if it isn't all-out invasion. This kind of thing we absolutely have to stop, and I hope it does, but I'm still not much of a believer in that department. Anyway, I made my point.
Yes, you did. Very
Thank
nicely.
You.
Eloquently, I would say. That's John in Carmel Valley. Your call can be next. I've got lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com. You can access our archives, podcasts, and the live stream in case you drift outside the reach of our AM transmitters. That's www.peterbcollins.com.
healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumble stew. A side of couscous and a Bible solution. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
And we need to take a look at traffic, so let's get to it. We've got a, yeah, let's see, CHP told us about a problem. It was in wonderful Salinas, and it's still on Davis Road at Foster. Right shoulder, two vehicles being reported there. Taking a look at Salinas Market Street between Monterey Street and Salinas Street, we have a construction. Expect delays. Detours, in effect. And that will be during the day and the afternoon, by the way. Don't have to worry about it at the nighttime, which is about now. Hey, by the way, I got to let you folks know about a big problem that's starting to improve in San Mateo Bridge, eastbound 92 at the high-rise. All lanes are now open, but there's a big back. If you still want to use the Dumbarton Bridge as an alternative route, no problems. Report northbound and southbound on Highway 17, which is always great news. And this report is brought to you by the folks at the newly renovated.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show about 9 minutes in front of the hour. And Harvey joins us from Eureka. Welcome, Harvey. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I'm so impressed by all your callers. You know, it's amazing how eloquent they are.
Well, and if you're going to say that, let me just chime in, because I am so blessed by the smart people who listen to this program, folks who are very well informed, who call in and offer their comments, and it's a wonderful exchange, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to talk about the China recall. You know, we've had a mess of Chinese goods are being pointed out as being defective.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question I have is, why did they wait till now to tell us about these goods? How long have we been getting these defective goods and nobody's been telling us about it? And the second thing is, I think that it has to do with trying. I'm not saying that it's not true. I really don't know about the goods themselves, whether this is valid or not. But
let me just jump in. There isn't too much doubt that the toothpaste and the dog food essentially had poison in them.
Yes,
and
well,
that this was used as filler. The toy recall, you could make a case, is negligence, not necessarily viciousness.
Yeah, well, that's That's very possible. I mean, I sort of tend to believe that.
But Harvey, what I believe is the driving factor here is not necessarily Walmart itself, but what I would call the Walmart effect. And that is, we are so driven by low prices, and, you know, the American consumer has learned that Walmart, which, of course, was originally built around the idea of buying American products only, that Walmart has brought us a flood of these low-cost imports from flip-flops to pajamas to baby bibs to Thomas the Tank. And so Americans have become accustomed to buying these goods, even though many of us know that it's doing incredible damage to our own manufacturing base, and that we probably, you know, save a few nickels here and there, but the price we're paying as a nation is priceless, as MasterCard would put it. And
yes.
And so, you know, we've just been kind of swept along in this frenzy of buying cheap goods at a low price, and a lot of people expect, oh, well, I didn't pay anything for it, so, you know, if those running shoes only last 3 months or my T-shirt rips on the fourth wear, ah, who cares? I only paid a couple of bucks for it.
Yeah, well, I think that what the people in charge are doing is they're sending a message to China that we want them to revalue their currency because their unit of measure, I can't remember whether I think it's the yuan.
It's the yuan, Y-U-A-N.
Yuan, yeah, mm-hmm. Is getting it is so lowly valued that they are flooding our market and they're destroying the dollar. So what they want to do is to discourage trade with China and force China to do our bidding and to revalue their yuan.
Well, Harvey, I would differ in that we're doing a great job destroying the dollar all by ourselves. And a lot of that is due to this huge trade deficit that we have with China and other countries. And this came into sharp relief for me when I was traveling in Europe. And this little bottle of water that I'm sipping on here, in American money, $4.75 is what I was paying for it in Italy. And
what is it in euros?
In euros, it's like two to three euros.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's double.
And
I remember the euro started at 90 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite quite a change.
Well, now it takes $1.38 to buy a euro.
Oh,
so you can see the swing. And yes, we have currency issues with China, and definitely they have kept their currency low against the dollar because it does enhance their trade. Likewise, Bush has let the dollar slide because it enhances our trade with European partners. And you know, he never leaves the country as a tourist, and he expects nobody else does either.
But now we've got this credit crunch, and we've got all these people demanding their money and worrying about foreclosure. And
yeah.
And isn't that related to the decline of the dollar? I mean, doesn't that refer back to the value of the dollar? Nobody wants their money in dollars because it's because the dollar is losing its value.
Well, and I read another excellent report speculating that one of the reasons we invaded Iraq was that Saddam was shifting to euro petro instead of dollar petro. And that, you know, that's a theory. I can't say that I buy it lock, stock, and barrel, but I think it did have an influence there. Harvey, thanks for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate hearing from you. And thanks to everyone who called today. I want to end with a commentary written by Bill Moyers. Like the proverbial hedgehog, Karl Rove knew one big thing: how to win elections as if they were divine interventions. You may think God summoned Billy Graham to Florida on the eve of the 2000 election to endorse Bush just in the nick of time, but if it did happen that way, the good Lord was speaking in a Texas accent. Karl Rove figured out a long time ago that the way to take an intellectually incurious, draft-averse, naughty playboy in a flight jacket with chewing tobacco in his back pocket and make him governor of Texas was to sell him as God's anointed in a state where preachers and televangelists outnumber even oil derricks and jackrabbits. Using church pews as precincts, Rove turned religion into a weapon of political combat, a battering ram aimed at the devil's minions, especially at gay people. It's so easy, as Carl knew, to scapegoat people you outnumber. And if God is love, as rumor has it, Rove knew in politics to bet on fear and loathing. Never mind that in stroking the basest bigotry of true believers, you coarsen both politics and religion. And there's more here I don't have time for. Rove is riding out of Dodge City as the posse rides in. At his press conference this week, he asked God to bless the president and the country, even as reports were circulating that he himself has confessed to friends his own agnosticism. He wished he could believe, but he cannot. That kind of intellectual honesty is to be admired, but you have to wonder how all those folks on the Christian right must feel discovering they were used for partisan reasons by a secular skeptic, a manipulator. On his last play of the game, all Karl Rove had to offer them was a Hail Mary pass, while telling himself, there's no one there to catch it. That's from Bill Moyers. You might be able to find the whole thing online. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. My thanks to Brian Urban taking your calls today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds?
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's now as strong as a hurricane gets.
Hurricane Dean is now a Category 5 hurricane. Winds are now 160 miles an hour. So we're looking at a very dangerous situation here.
Hugh Cobb, the National Weather Service, they are getting ready on the Yucatan.
Businesses are boarding up, the Mexican military is in place, and hotels are getting prepared to protect the unlucky tourists who are stuck here or simply decided to stick it out.
Now, when you hear a hurricane with 160 mile an hour winds is headed your way, you do want to get out of the way. CBS's Bianca Solorzano says that's what people are trying to do there.
An estimated 20,000 tourists are still in the area. Hundreds packed Cancun's airport today, many desperate to get on extra flights that airlines added.
I felt that I had to, I just had to get out any way I could.
This part of Mexico knows only too well what catastrophic hurricanes can do. It was less than 2 years ago that Hurricane Wilma, a Category 4, ravaged Cancun.
I'm Mark Noller in Gatineau, Canada. With Hurricane Dean bearing down on his country, Mexican President Felipe Calderon will be cutting short his visit to Canada to return home. He'll still take part in the second and final day of the North American summit with President Bush and Canadian Prime Minister Harper. But the schedule is being accelerated, and White House aides say they understand completely.
Dogfighting. Quarterback Michael Vick admits he is guilty.
For Michael Vick, it's potentially a career-ending hit. The NFL superstar has agreed to plead guilty to felony charges related to dogfighting. In a statement, his lawyer said Vick accepts full responsibility for his actions and the mistakes he has made.
CBS's Mark Strassman says details of the plea deal will be known next Monday.
A week from today, in a Virginia courthouse, Michael Vick will make his plea deal official. His maximum sentence is 5 years in a federal prison. His plea deal may shorten that sentence, but most legal experts say Michael Vick will do time.
Flooding, leaving at least 8 people dead in Texas, 6 in Oklahoma, another 6 in Minnesota, where one man is missing, and a Montana wildfire forcing people from more than 30 homes in that state. Crews battling the flames right up to the back doors of some of those homes. Today's list of monuments to higher education.
Number one on the list is West Virginia University. Number two, University of Mississippi. Three, University of Texas at Austin. Four, University of Florida. And five, University of Georgia.
Robert Franek, Princeton Review.